You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. This is Wednesday, and I reminded everybody, you want to watch those Democratic debates tonight. Let's see how my girl Tulsi Gabbard does. She is going to stick to the whole war and peace issue. I don't know if she gets asked about immigration, how it's going to be, but today we've got Jeremy from Kentucky, and he's going to go into some pretty interesting stuff in just a second that does have to do with the immigration issue. In the meantime, I just want to remind you, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button, and also go to nationalbugle.com, read the great articles posted by Mark Dankoff, and download the kosher-certified app so you can lead a non-kosher-certified lifestyle. Well, Jeremy, we all remember in the George W. Bush administration his faith-based initiative, where he was going to get all these religious charities. He's basically going to, what was it? He was going to, I was going to say offshore, that's not it, where you take from the government purview and put off to the private sector. He was going to do all this outsource all of these great things to religious charities who are so committed and would do a great job of everything. So how's that all worked out? Because we haven't heard too much about it, but is it still a thing?
Well, being the good, you know, controlled opposition right-wing person that supposed Christian that George was, he wanted to basically empower, he wanted to give government money to charities in order to promote social reform. So, you know, when we all heard this at the Christian community that I was in, we thought, okay, well, this is good. You know, this guy's going to give churches money, and they're going to be able to give single pregnant mothers counseling so they won't get abortions, and they're going to be able to, you know, help the downtrodden in their communities. But that's not exactly how it turned out, as I found out. But yeah, Bush proposed, this was an executive order on January 29th, 2001. So this is just right after he assumed power. And it was under his campaign promise of compassionate conservatism. And it was basically the government was to provide federally funded social services to these religious groups. But what the groups ended up doing, as we found out, was using this government money to immigrate third world into America. And not only that, but they've made tremendous amounts of money off of it.
Okay, so one of the most famous groups, and I don't know if you have any information on this, but infamous groups involved in immigration, it's the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, but of course there's also a lot of Christian groups involved as well. Do you have any data or anecdotes about the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society?
I didn't really focus on them because we already know that they want Infinity Third World into America. What I did focus on was cleaning up my own backyard, as it were, as a Christian. And you've got charities that you can find listed on centerforimmigrationstudies.org. Church World Service, you've got the Episcopal Migration Ministries, you've got the Ethiopian Community Development Council, and they do list the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. Of course, the Catholic bishops, the Council of Catholic Bishops are listed, and that one's significant because the Catholic Church, of all of its charities, of all the money that it doles out, 98% of it comes from the U.S. government.
Really?
It's like a $3.8 billion racket So the Catholic Church is making lots of money off the U.S. government.
So that's not money that they're collecting from the pews by circulating the, what do you call it? That dish.
The offering, the tithe. No.
The tithing, the Catholic Church.
And like, so suppose they sponsor migrants to come in, you know, and they're sponsoring a migrant for, I don't know, $2,000 a month. Well, the government will match that. And the Catholic Church has ended up making tremendous amounts of money off of this program, as have all the other Protestant denominations. But the Catholic one is like I said, is 98%. You can find all this data on centerforimmigrationstudies.org. And so I had a personal experience here in Kentucky. I ran into this before I really studied it. I found out firsthand that this is indeed true, and this is indeed what they're doing.
Wow. Okay. Now, so why don't you tell us a little bit about your personal experience with this, because I think it's going to be very enlightening.
Well, we have a chicken processing plant in West Kentucky. It's called Pilgrim's Pride. And they, about 2008, they brought in a bunch of Somali Muslim men to work the chicken plant. And there's quite a bit of them. I don't have an exact number on how many there were, but I would say it was upwards of 50 or so. And, of course, some of them brought their families. And these men caused all sorts of trouble in our small town. They were one man spit in the face of a teenage cashier at the local grocery store. There was a group of Somali men that surrounded a woman in her car in the Walmart parking lot after dark.
Mm-hmm.
And these people were just not, you know, they're not integrating well. They would work at the chicken plant, get in trouble, get fired, and then just absorb into the community. I mean, even our black community here was like, yo, I mean, like, these people have to get out of here. Like, even the blacks wanted to send them back because they weren't integrating well in the black community. And so that was back in 2008, 2009, and our fine young redneck Kentucky boys got their shotguns and put them in the back window of their pickup trucks on the shotgun racks, because you can open carry here, and they would park their pickup trucks in the parking lots and make our presence known to keep this in check. The Muslims even tried to set up a mosque here, which they were legally allowed to do, but somehow the materials just never made it. It never just took off, and that was abandoned. So, you know, thankfully my small town did stand up for itself. But now, flash forward, about 8 years later, in summer of 2017, I contact this very same chicken plant because I have been talking to a family, a white family in South Africa. The man has an engineering degree, and he has been fired from his job because of the color of his skin, and he and his family live in a tent. And they live off of what little welfare they can get from the government, plus charity donations. I tried to get the guy a job at Pilgrim's, and Pilgrims told me that they could hire him, but I would have to sponsor him to get here, which would cost in the neighborhood of $2,000 a month. You've got to get him over here. You've got to get him housing. There's all these things. And I'm like, well, how did you all bring in these Somali Muslims? And they said, oh, well, that's easy. The Catholic Church sponsored them. And I said, really? The Catholic Church is sponsoring Muslims to come to the state of Kentucky? That's fascinating. And they said, yeah, because these Somalis have refugee status, so the government subsidizes the Catholic Church in order to bring them over here. And this is what I found out firsthand before I started researching into any of this or any of these numbers. So how about that, Dr. Slattery? The same great institution that drove out the Muslims under Charles the Hammer is now bringing them in. What do you think about that?
Yeah. And it's not as if Africa's not full of, you know, there's plenty of people that are nominally Catholic in Africa they could bring over, that they go and specifically bring over Somalis. I don't know what to say about it.
The white South Africaners, the Boer, the descendants from the Boers, these farmers, mm-hmm. they're truly should qualify for refugee status. they're undergoing persecution for their race, and they're being killed and raped and thrown off of their land, and yet the government refuses to do so, and now we can see why. I mean, if they could be granted, I mean, this guy's got an engineering degree. How many of these white men and women have marketable skills that they could bring into our communities if we could bring them in here? So, you know, it's very, very obvious what's going on here is that, number one, the government is pushing white genocide. Number two, these so-called Christian-based organizations are making lots of money off of this racket, and that's what it is, it's a racket.
So you wonder, and I have no answer for this, but 18 years ago or so, when George W. Bush signed this executive order, you wonder, at that point, what was he thinking? And probably, you don't know, maybe not very much. I remember the whole faith-based initiative discussion. I wasn't all that interested in it. I'm not a faith-based person, and it wasn't high on my list of priorities to investigate. I just assumed he was throwing bones to the evangelicals who helped him get elected. And as, you know, being a fake Christian, because George W. Bush, if there's one thing about him, he was fake. He was fake everything. He was a fake Texan. He was a fake Christian. He was a fake president, really. And I had always thought, because I didn't hear a whole lot about the faith-based initiative after that. It just seemed like a campaign scheme that probably worked out pretty well. I guess it did work out pretty well for him, because he only won by about 500 votes from Florida, and otherwise he would have lost. I'm sure it helped him pick up 500 votes in Florida. I didn't hear a whole lot about it, but now, you know, you're describing how much it plays into immigration and anti-white types of immigration in particular. And so at some point between the executive order and today, it became anti-white with people knowing about it. And so, you know, my question, which I don't have an answer for, maybe you can shine some light on it, is at what stage did this become an anti-white initiative? I don't know if George Bush was capable of thinking that far into the future. Was it that these religious groups, the Catholic bishops or the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, who, and you know, we know why the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society is anti-white. The Catholic bishops it's more of a mystery. But at what point did they say, "Oh wow, we can use this to further our anti-white agenda"? And so that's one question I have. Can you shine any light on that? Do you know at what stage this really became? Do you think that George W. Bush thought that this was how it was going to play out?
Well, you know, just from studying retrospectively, I wasn't a young man in the Air Force at the time this came out, but I wasn't aware of the JQ, nor was I very political. I think George W. Bush wanted to, as you mentioned, this furthered his political career. That was his motivation. And I think that the motivation of the people behind our government that pushed this, and especially the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, their motivation was definitely to bring in more third worlders to change the demographics of this country. This would have been right about the time, this was right before actually Steven Steinlein published his paper about a Jewish stake in changing demography. But I think that there are even more nefarious purposes going on here that maybe the people that control our government did foresee. If you have a separation of church and state, and that's definitely what the left was yelling when this faith-based initiative came out, to their credit.
Right.
To their credit. And now you're going to have a situation where if the federal government puts money into it, the federal government owns it, and they get a say in it. So I think that what you're going to start, and what you already have started seeing, was that, you know, churches that come out against homosexuality and transgenderism Now the federal government's got some leverage to come in there and say, wait a minute, you're getting this money for your charity grants. You know, we may have to pull this money, Goy, if you get up there and preach too hard on the sodomites.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I do. It's already started going that way. And even if the federal government can't force the church to stop preaching on these issues and to taking a stand for morality, they can threaten to pull that grant money for their social outreach programs, and money talks and BS walks in this world, even in the church.
Yeah, you know, another issue that we don't hear about too much right now, but that we've heard about at certain times during my lifetime, is prayer in public schools. And I always thought, really? You want public school teachers to be teaching your kids religion? Think of who are the public school teachers nowadays. That always seemed a bit strange to me. But how much is our refugee relocation functions? How much are those part of the overall faith-based initiative spending for the government?
Well, not some raw data on the exact amount spent overall, but I do have a chart here on capitalresearch.org on this topic. And from 2008 to 2018, the money spent per refugee went from $500 in 2008 to $1,700 in 2018. So the money that is being spent on the program has skyrocketed since 2008. Mm-hmm. So this importation of the third world is reaching levels of turning America third world that shouldn't even be possible.
Wow. Okay, and I'm seeing another graph on that same page, selected HHS, Health and Human Services, which what that would mean, selected HHS refugee resettlement grants in the millions. And so they're showing the Catholic Charities big, IRSA, I'm not sure who that is, Janus, I don't know that. They've got, what else, the YMCA is in this now.
Oh, yes, good. Another anecdote. If I may,
uh-huh.
I stay in really good shape, and I'm at my local Y because they give me a veterans discount, and my dependents or friends can come in, minor dependents can come in for free.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the YMCA a lot, and I noticed in the last few years that the amount of, and you can tell that these people are from Africa. I mean, mm-hmm. they do not look like American blacks. I mean, you can just tell it before
right.
they even speak. They're wearing brand new Reebok, Nike, Adidas, sweatshirts, t-shirts, pants, shoes. So a lot of this funding, too, through the YMCA, not only offers them a membership, but dresses them for the part. While many of our working-class white youths have to go to the YMCA in their wore-out $5 Walmart shorts and t-shirts. So, I mean, this is really telling. Yeah, I knew the YMCA was sponsoring this as well.
That's really amazing. And, of course, this is without even getting into the whole Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. If you go to their website, they brag about millions of refugees that they brought over. Of course, the synagogue that got shot up last October had been closely linked with the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. That's why it was targeted, although you could probably target pretty much any synagogue for the same reasons. Okay, well, we are coming up on the break, but we will be back momentarily, and we're going to continue discussing this and also get into some other stuff, because there's certainly a lot going on this week. So we'll be right back.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to the show. So we have a bit more information about all of these faith-based groups that are flooding our country with immigrants. Diverse, but you know, it seems as if it's not just that Christians are bringing in Christians and Jews are bringing in Jews and whatnot. It's kind of skewed, isn't it?
Well, yes, and I've heard people make the argument, well, the Catholic Church is very altruistic, and number one, and number two, they want to bring in Central and South American Catholics who just happen to be, you know, brown, and it's a Catholic thing. Well, no, actually it isn't. It's a money thing. I've got a Breitbart article pulled up. Now, it is from 2015, but it's helpful in documenting the history of this. It's Christian Charities Profit from Muslim Refugee Resettlement. And it says that though they are officially non-profit organizations, Catholic Charities, Lutheran Social Services, and several other Christian organizations are profiting from lucrative contracts with the federal government to resettle refugees in the United States. And it goes on to say that as of 2014, 100,000 refugees, out of those 100,000, 40% were Muslims.
Wow.
40%, Patrick.
Wow, and that's 2014. I wonder how it would be now. I don't see why it would have improved at all.
And I wouldn't doubt that some of these articles are being stricken now from the public view. But this is Breitbart doing their bit, you know, as the good right-wing media supposedly that they are. But it says that in fiscal year 2015, the State Department, through the Bureau of Population, Refugees and Migration, and the Office of Refugee Resettlement, spent more than $1 billion on these programs. So that somewhat answers your question. How much do they spend on immigration as opposed to other social programs?
Yeah, and I'm looking at, from linked to that Breitbart article, there's a refugeesettlementwatch.wordpress.com. Well, it's somebody's blog, but I think it's probably pretty good information. The federal programs available, okay, refugees' access to welfare on the same basis as a U.S. citizen has made the program a global magnet. The federal programs available to them include temporary assistance for needy families, which used to, that's the main welfare program, assistance to needy to children. That used to be called, families with dependent children. Assistance to families with dependent children is what it used to be called. The main, you know, welfare. When we say welfare, that's usually what we're talking about. Medicaid, food stamps, public housing. Say nothing of public schools, because they're not paying into the property taxes that fund most public schools. SSI, which is Supplemental Security Income, Social Security Disability. They haven't paid into the Social Security, and yet would they be able to get Social Security Disability? A whole list of things. Wow. Medium-sized towns such as Bowling Green, Kentucky, and Nashville, Tennessee, are serving as the main reception centers for the refugee programs. Boise, Idaho, Manchester, New Hampshire. You know, Nashville, I don't know, and I don't know about Bowling Green, but when you talk about, you know, Boise and Manchester, these are areas that are typically thought of as being very, very white, and yet they are the main places targeted for these refugees.
Yes, I'm familiar with Bowling Green. I don't have the exact population, so don't fault me here, but it's close to between 55 and 65,000.
Mm.
And yeah, it is a predominantly white city in Kentucky. And you were mentioning the schools. You know, in our small town in West Kentucky, my painter, who's a Zoomer, reports that the white population in the high school is about 40%. 40% here, and he did note also that as soon as Trump issued his travel ban in 2017, that they had about five or six young students come in that weekend from Africa. So as the Trump rhetoric ramped up, I mean, these programs also ramped up, and I'd be interested to find some more data on what it is today.
Hmm. Well, that's amazing. Now, Bowling Green is also, that is the hometown of Rand Paul. I don't know, I don't think that would have anything to do with anything, but I'm just mentioning it. Okay, so we've got Christians bringing in Muslims. Oh, what is behind that? Why would Catholic Charities or Lutheran Social Services, and we know what they do, we know they're very involved in this. Why are they bringing in Somalis or other Muslims and plopping them down into Idaho and North Dakota and New Hampshire? What the heck is going on there?
Well, as we mentioned, it's all about the money, and I can even draw a parallel here with the rise in the Catholic abuse, child abuse scandal, where the Catholic Church has been paying out all sorts of settlement monies to these families, oftentimes without even any litigation involved. They just pay them. And I would, if I were going to speculate, I would say that the Catholic Church in particular has taken a huge hit in its budget throughout the last couple of decades. And so now this money is waved at them, and they gladly take it.
Okay.
So very, very interesting, you know, that back in... back.
Oh, let's back get into that after the break, okay?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we're back, and you were just speculating as to the motivation of the Catholic Church, which has probably taken a big hit. It's traditional middle class base is probably not filling the pews anymore. I know, to the extent I've been to Catholic churches in the past couple of decades, they're rather empty. I don't know, maybe they're filled up in the areas that have more Hispanic immigrants, but so this is probably becoming a big source of revenue, substituting for what they're not collecting in the collection dishes on Sundays and in tithes, right?
Well, that's absolutely correct, and as if anyone caught my interview with Mike Enoch on the alternative media show with Farron, Mike and I were just talking about how completely degenerate that all of the churches have become over the last 100 years, specifically the last 20 or 30 years, and people don't want to show up anymore. Why would you get up early on a Sunday morning and come to church to just get the same old pause stuff that you can get from CNN? And you know, as the Pope is, the new Pope has gone so liberal, you know, this is hurting their attendance, which is hurting their tithes and offerings. And so there's even more incentive for the Catholic Church to take in this money. And it's really a shame, because, you know, back in the 6th century under Charles the Hammer, the Catholic Church was pushing the Muslims out of Europe and defending the white Christians. And now they're taking money to completely and utterly destroy us and commit white genocide.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think we've gone into that a lot. It's been a big education for me to connect this faith-based initiative, whatever its intentions were, whatever intentions George W. Bush may have had in his great wisdom, it certainly hasn't worked out well for us on the immigration front. And maybe we'll get a better picture of this as we go on. But I hadn't made the connection at all. So this has been very interesting. All right. Well, there's all sorts of other stuff that's going on. So I'm going to throw something out at you. We've got a couple things I'll throw out at you. We've got the Democratic debates two nights in a row. So we've got tonight, and I believe it starts kind of late. Is it 9 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m.? I think that's what it is. So in your area, maybe 8 to 10. And the first night, it's going to be Elizabeth Warren. The bigger people just happen to, they did this by random selection of lots, and the bigger people, more of the people who are ahead in the poll, like Biden and Budum Gay and Sanders, are all tomorrow night. But Tulsi Gabbard is tonight, and we'll see if she's capable of using debates as a way of separating herself from the rest, because I mean, my whole support for her has been to get her into the debates. She's got a message of something that's useful for us, and let's see if we can use these debates to get some good points out about the war. And we'll see how good she's going to be at that tonight. And then, of course, tomorrow night you'll have Biden and Sanders and Budum Gay, and we'll see how it goes. Do you have any expectations? Is there anything that you would be looking for regarding these Democratic debates tonight and tomorrow?
Well, first of all, I'm interested to see how anti-white that they can be, because that's definitely going to be something they're going to do. But Warren, I've mentioned last week that I believe that Warren is going to be put out there to try to stifle Sanders. They do not want Bernie Sanders. And Warren's economic plan is very good, and it's reminiscent of what Trump and Sanders' rhetoric during the 2016 election. So I'm just going to enjoy watching these people tear each other apart and watching the Democratic Party and the left try to do damage control afterwards. But as I've held on to since a couple of months ago when I predicted Biden beat the establishment's choice, I think they're going to keep pumping money into Biden. They understand that they've got to get the white working class back, and they can get them back with Bernie Sanders. They could beat Trump with Bernie Sanders soundly, but they're not wanting to do that. They're not going to do that because Bernie is a loose cannon. They can't control him as well, even though they controlled him pretty well when he bowed down to Hillary back in 16. So, I mean, I think we should sit back with our popcorn and watch this and just watch these people tear each other apart just as sit back and watch a UFC fight.
Right. And I think, is he going to be on the first night? I think Andrew Yang is going to be the first night. He's the only person so far who has said anything that could be considered pro-white. Like I say, Tulsi focuses almost exclusively on on foreign policy. I have heard her speak out in favor of free speech and against the internet deplatforming, and that's big. I went to her website and looked at the immigration stuff, and she was for the Dreamers. So, you know, I don't have big expectations for her there, but you never know, because she comes from Hawaii. And she should have seen firsthand what happened to the native Hawaiians with the mass immigration that happened in Hawaii. But Andrew Yang has said a couple of interesting things. And, of course, he's got to separate himself from the rest. And a few months ago, he got a big push from the Daily Stormer and from Mike Enoch and those people who kept memeing his $1,000 a month thing, right? You don't hear anything about that. Is he going to go with the $1,000 a month, or is he going to go the universal basic income, or is he going to to maybe put his toes in the pro-white river, because who else is he going to have to share that with? And because he has talked about white people specifically, and because he's Chinese, maybe he could get away with it. Maybe he could get away with talking about the plight of white people. You know, on one interview, he even said he would be in favor of banning circumcision. Oh God! So,
oh my God, it's like another Shoah.
It's like another Shoah. Well, how will they? I mean, that's how the whole reason there's circumcision in America is because after World War II, the Jews and their doctors thought, well, we don't want people to be able to tell the difference between Jews and non-Jews in the next Shoah. So rather than stopping circumcising our own babies, let's circumcise all of their babies. And
that's an interesting take, and I've also heard the take that, you know, when the Jews would take in slaves, they would circumcise them and convert them to Judaism. And so, you know, being a non-ethnic Jew and being circumcised is a sign that you're a slave of the Jews. That certainly would be the case with America.
Yeah, it's the case. So maybe Andrew Yang has some plan for getting our foreskins back. I don't know.
But what's interesting to me is that each one of these candidates offers a little bit of something for the populace of America. And if you could just take these pieces out of each one of their campaigns and put them together like a Voltron, then, you know, maybe you would get a Democratic candidate that could beat Donald Trump and benefit the people. You know, for example, I mentioned Warren and Sanders have good economic policies. And then you've got Yang talking about white people. You know, he's appealing to the white working class. And $1,000 a month, I mean, just $1,000 a month alone would get my vote, quite honestly. Because at least you could have a new truck. I could have a new truck, and that $1,000 would make the payment every month while I watch America burn. You know, it's like, what do you want to see your culture and society destroyed, or do you want to see your culture and society destroyed plus $1,000 a month?
Yeah,
two choices.
Yeah, I mean, of course, how much is $1,000 a month going to be worth once they start giving out $1,000 a month? That's a debate. That's a debate that can be had. We would see if it ever happened. Apparently, Iran does this. Iran, I believe, I haven't seen it verified, but I have seen it claimed that Iran does the their equivalent of $1,000 a month. They have universal basic income. Now, of course, their economy is not in good shape, but that is much more likely due to the sanctions on them than anything else. Well, we'll see. The other thing that's, and I mentioned this in the show yesterday, but the other thing that's interesting coming up on the weekend is the G20 summit in Osaka, Japan. Tucker is already over there in Japan. He's And I was saying yesterday that with him walking around, he's in Tokyo now, and I guess he'd be going to Osaka in a few days, but him walking around in these major cities that aren't going to have crime and aren't going to have huge visible minorities, and they're clean and the buildings are futuristic and the public transportation is safe and efficient, and people are polite. What's he going to say? I mean, I don't know if he's been there before, but for somebody who grew up in California and then recently has done a whole series of what's happened to California, look at illegal immigrants defecating in the streets and the probability of major disease epidemics in those cities. What do you think that's going to do? What do you think this experience of being in clean, efficient, safe, homogeneous society is going to do to Tucker Carlson? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, Tucker's definitely our guy, and I think that he is a white nationalist. But he just can't say it. I think that he believes in a lot of these truths and ideas that we do. And so, yeah, I think that Tucker being in Japan is a good thing. It's going to strengthen him. It's going to keep him on point in keeping our president, Donald Blump, in check. And, you know, I noticed recently that Tucker came out against the Koch brothers.
Mm-hmm. I guess we call them Koch. Is that what they are?
Koch.
Koch brothers? Yeah.
Yeah, they call them the Koch brothers. But, you know...
Koch, because they're kosher? The Koch brothers, maybe.
The Koch brothers.
But they're not openly Jewish. Are they crypto at all? I kind of doubt it. They might as well.
Well, they're kosher. They're kosher in the sense.
They're kosher. They're not Jewish, but they're kosher. Is it?
Yeah, maybe? Spiritually, they're on the same page.
Yeah, okay.
And, yeah, Tucker totally come out against them. And I'm just wondering how long it's going to be before Tucker is totally kicked out of Fox News, because he's really been pushing the envelope lately, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. In fact, perhaps tomorrow I'll be doing a show where the first part of it, I'm going to break down some of the things he was saying last week, because he was naming a lot of names. He just wasn't connecting the dots that this guy's Jewish and this lady's Jewish. But he's calling out individuals, and they're individuals who just happen to be Jewish, but like a whole bunch of them, either Jewish or, of course, people like John Bolton, who he was railing against last week, successfully. Railing against John Bolton, who is only an eighth Jewish, but he has made it an entire career out of promoting the Jewish foreign policy, the Zionist foreign policy, and maybe the Likudnik version of the Zionist foreign policy, because there is a spectrum. Just like on immigration, on foreign policy. So, you know, on immigration, you talk about the Steven Steinlight variety of immigration, which it's not that he's anti-immigration. He just doesn't want it so fast. He wants to keep it at a pace where the immigrants can be absorbed and you don't get the white backlash and you don't get the anti-Semitism. It's not that he's anti-immigration, but he's more go slow on it. And so, for instance, with Iran, with the policy towards Iran, you know, you've got obviously the Bolton Likudnik variety, which is war for Israel now, and then you've got the Iran nuclear deal variety, which is Iran is they're horrible, they're a bad actor, we've got to restrain them, but we can do it through applying different rules to them than any other country on earth has to follow regarding nuclear power, and have maximum observation and regulation of them. And then, of course, you've got everything in between, you know, for endless economic sanctions and everything. So you've got the spectrum. But nowhere do you have, actually, Iran's not the bad guy. That's not part of the Jewish spectrum, you know. So you got... the TRS guys are always talking about the kosher sandwich, and I've always talked about the Jewish agenda being basically split in half, and you got, you know, the Democrats carrying out one part of it and the Republicans carrying out the other part, although increasingly what you're having is the Democrats carrying out like pretty much everything that the Democrats and the Republicans push are on the Jewish spectrum, like I just described. But what I was getting at, though, is so Tucker Carlson's over there, but also, of course, Donald Trump will be over there, and so will Vladimir Putin. There's a possibility for them to have a real good meeting on the sideline. Donald Trump, he may well be beyond hope, but if there is any hope, it's going to be some of these. It's going to be developing relationships with foreign leaders who can counterbalance the horrible people that we have in Washington. Man, I'm thinking of Vladimir Putin first and foremost, but also Moon Jae-in in South Korea, who maybe get these talks with Kim Jong-un started again. So that's what I was thinking. Do you have any thoughts on the G20 summit and the types of things that could happen there?
I think that any possible diplomatic talks between the U.S. and Russia are going to be thwarted to the utmost. As we mentioned in last week's show, you know, the balance of power is now, you know, Russia and the United States, again, and the various countries that are aligned with each one of those. And Russia becoming more and more every day less Jewish-controlled.
Mm-hmm.
As we noted that, you know, Putin's daughter was divorced from the Jewish banker. And, you know, Russia is demonized. And Russia is supporting the countries that stand in the way of the greater Israel.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if Ivanka were to divorce Jared? Okay, well, we'll be right back with more of this.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by...
Okay, we are back, and so supposedly, we mentioned Tucker just now, supposedly Tucker was the person who got into Donald Trump's ear and stopped him from bombing Iran. How much credit do we give to President Trump for that?
Well, just because I'm an old softy, Patrick, I'm going to give Trump some credit here for not bombing Iran. And it really made John Bolton upset, and it, his mustache was so upset that it couldn't be reached for comment because they often give separate interviews. But, you know, basically Bolton went to Israel and apologized for not bombing Iran. Now, can you imagine a situation like where the president's advisor goes to another country,
mm-hmm.
to give a press conference with that country's, with that foreign country's leader. And that's exactly what John Bolton and his mustache did. To quote him, he says, Bolton says, neither Iran nor any other hostile actor should mistake U.S. prudence and discretion for weakness, Bolton said. No one has granted them a hunting license in the Middle East. And I mean, like we mentioned earlier before the break, I mean, this is all about Iran's support of Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is basically stopping the Jews from getting Lebanon, which is part of their greater Israel. So Iran's big sin is twofold. Number one, they nationalized their banks, and they dared to stand up to the global bankers. And number two, they dare to stand against Israel and support the people of Palestine to keep Israel from getting the land that they believe that they deserve. And this is why we're not going to have positive diplomatic results at this summit. It's going to be stifled. Because even though Trump has done one good thing, he has proven very, very, very well that he's been soundly defeated, and that anything that he may have wanted to do for us has now been dropped.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just wondering, we just got a minute or so left, but John Bolton flying off, he's the national security advisor, he should be working in the White House, and I don't know the answer to this. The Secretary of State, I mean, their job is to globetrot. A national security advisor, how common is it for them to globetrot? And I wonder where their destinations are, because it seems that John Bolton, I mean, he's going off to Israel. Was it a previously scheduled trip? And if it was a previously scheduled trip, why the heck does he need to be going off to Israel? I mean, Kissinger made secret trips. I mean, he made some trips, like, to China, secret trips when he was national security advisor during Nixon's first term. How common is this? I wonder.
To quote Tucker Carlson directly, Tucker says, there is nothing normal about John Bolton.
There's nothing normal about John Bolton. Well, yeah, what was it? He was saying that's not normal, but what was it? I can't remember exactly what led up to it, but there's nothing normal about John Bolton, really going after John Bolton. And of course, he replayed his own interview with John Bolton from a year. When did John Bolton become National Security Advisor? It was a year ago, right? It was a year ago in April, I think.
Because we were discussing that Michael Bolton would have been a much better choice.
Yes, Michael Bolton would have been a much better choice, with better hair. Yeah, he replayed that interview where Tucker Carlson said, "Well, I've got a better record in foreign policy than you do." And where they really, I mean, like, I don't know, almost came to blows. It was great. Yeah, it was great. And he replayed that and then said, "There's nothing normal about John Bolton." So really going after John Bolton hard. And Bolton must be fuming that Tucker Carlson got in there and threw a monkey wrench in his whole bomb Iran plans when they just were coming to fruition. Well, that's all the time we have for today. But thank you so much, Jeremy, for coming in here and bringing in all that information about the faith-based initiatives and that role in the our immigration problem.
Thank you, Dr. Slattery, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.